sing the wrong today. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I have seen the Lord's goodness, His mercies and compassion. I have seen the Lord's goodness. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh Lord, You are being so good. You are so good to me. Oh Lord, You are excellent in my life every day. Oh Lord, You are being so good. You are so good to me. Oh Lord, You are excellent in my life. Lord Jesus, we humbly come before You this morning. We humbly proclaim Your name as the highest name, the name by which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Out of Your deepest love for us, You sent Your only begotten Son to come and die for us. And in that 1 John chapter 3 verse 16, You are encouraging us that as Jesus gave up His life for us, that is the way You are expecting us to demonstrate Your love through us unto others, unto our brothers and sisters, especially within the body of Christ. Father, come and help us to fulfill this love responsibility that You have placed upon us. Today, as we go into Your word, come and give us the understanding of Your word. The entrance of Your word bringeth light and give understanding to the simple. Let there be understanding of Your word to us today, as we carefully and inspirationally listen to Your words. Thank You, Father. We give You praise. For in Jesus' name we are praying. To welcome you to Glory Field Assembly once again, the Church Hour of Way of Glory Missions. I want to charge us to turn our Bible at this point to the book of Timothy. So the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. The book of Timothy, the 2 Timothy chapter 4. Hallelujah. And we are going to read verse 10 there. And I pray God will give us understanding of His word. We are in an era that God has given us more privilege, whereby His word is abounding in our days. And as He has said in His word, that in the last days, the knowledge about His glory will fill the heart as water covereth the sea. And this is the era that we are not expected to be starving in terms of the true knowledge about God. And let's see what Apostle Paul began to say here about one of his followers, those who he has previously charged to be imitator of him, as he himself is imitator of Christ. And let's see in verse 10 of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 10 says, Demas has deserted me because he lost the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica. That is the aspect I want us to put a stop at today. That's where I want us to stop in terms of reading this verse. let's take a minute, let's take a moment and reflect on this. Let's look around us, especially since the time we've given our lives. Let's now reflect about ourselves. Since we have declared Jesus as the Lord over our lives, since we have said, Jesus, come and take Lordship over my life. Come and take Lordship over your life. How have you walked with the Lord? Have you walked like the way Peter walked with God after his Holy Ghost baptism experience? Because it wasn't the same Peter after he was endued with power from on high. The same Peter that could betray and deny Jesus. The same Peter that denied Jesus, you know, by saying, oh, sorry, I don't know him. But he was afraid of dying. Was the same Peter, after the experience of the upper room on the Pentecost day, when the Holy Spirit came upon him and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, it was the same Peter that he stood before crowd and he preached with power, with confidence, with conviction about the crucified Jesus. But he couldn't do that before the Holy Spirit came to take over his life. Then, what am I saying at this point? Since the time you gave your life to Jesus, have you allowed the Holy Spirit to come and take charge, to come and take preeminent control over your life? Because without this, you and me could become like demons any moment, any day. Because challenges are there every time to make us to go astray, to make us to want to stay with the world, to make us to want to run with the world. Because there are things that are so attractive in the world, although the end of them are disastrous. What are the things in the world? The pride of life, you know, the lust of the flesh. Those are the things that are in the world. They don't please God. They don't bring glory to God. As a matter of God, as a matter of fact, anything you do in flesh doesn't bring glory to God. So if you are indeed a genuine child of God, and you are totally giving your life to God, and your resolve now is to make heaven at the end of your life, you are not going to go for those things, because you know they are temporary, and you knew that you came to this world with nothing, and so you are going to go back with nothing. So you are not going to allow anything, you are not going to take away with you to eternity, to hinder you from making eternity. You are not going to place those things, you know, higher, above your relationship with God. But Gideon did that because he did not allow the Holy Spirit to totally rest within him. He was still enjoying, you know, the things of the flesh. That is why I said today in this church, if you call yourself a child of God and still indulge in pornographic things, you still indulge in sexual immorality, you still indulge in stealing, you still indulge in fighting, you still indulge in all manners of sins that Jesus Christ has condemned. You know, which Jesus Christ described through Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 4 there as sins that are the fruit of the flesh. Oh my God, before you know it, you will be consumed by them. It's just like you giving a devil just a little inch, he will take a mile. So that is why God is encouraging us in this place today to come and place our life at his feet and allow him to dominate us. I can tell you from the passion of my heart that Christ wants to fill us through his Holy Spirit. He wants to have fellowship with us on daily basis. We were coming to church this morning, and God speaking us, you know, to tell our children, you know, to begin to read Bible one from one to another. And those passages they were reading, you know, and we got to a point that the Lord made us to realize again, you know, what He has made us to know before. That His words are sweeter than honey in our mouth. It is something you keep eating and you will not be tired of it. Even those people in the world, they are tired of the world. They tell you, life is becoming of no meaning to them. That's why you often see those people that are in the world, perhaps they could be celebrity, they could be this or that, they end up using drugs to kill themselves. We've had so many that through drugs they died in their hotel room. Because the devil doesn't offer us anything other than death. And that's what the Bible says in that John. You know, John made us to listen. The devil has come to kill. Hallelujah. He said to steal, you know, to destroy and to kill. But Christ Jesus has come to give us life and to give us more abundantly. Then why are we running away from the person that can give us life and even more in abundance? That this thing will give us eternity with Him. Eternity in paradise, go to hell. But we don't want to stay with Him. We think that is, we don't even know, we haven't been to heaven. So we don't know whether it is sure, whether it is even true. You know, let's enjoy what we can see now. I will make us to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, verse 18 there. He said, what is physical is temporal. But what is not physical is eternal. Where does you go with what Christ has promised? That promise of eternity. It is real. It is going to happen one day to you. It's going to happen one day to me. If we remain in Him to the end. If we allow Him to keep abiding in us. And not abiding in Him. And He has said in Matthew 24, He said, it's only those who endure to the end that shall be saved. See, church today, people have different excuses why they are not in church today. I pray that we will make up our minds, we have a change of heart, and we return back to Him before it is too late. Because God is not a bastard God. When judgment comes, it comes without any favoritism, without any cheating. It's going to give to everybody according to their work. That is what Revelation chapter 22 made us know. He said Jesus is coming quickly, and He's coming with His reward to give to everybody according to their works.
The account and the experience of Paul about Demas was so sorrowful. Was so shameful. A man that started well in the Lord, he ended up because of the affairs of this world. Perhaps he wants to have a big car, perhaps he wants to live in a big house, perhaps he wants to have, you know, plenty of money in his bank account. He cannot just continue to live a life of confinement like the one Apostle Paul was living. So he decided to abandon him. Look, I pray you don't abandon your eternity with God for things that will never be permanent with you. God help us! And that is the society we are. That is the world we are today. The world has entered into the church. And the church has left their domain and they've gone into the world. Amen. May the Lord help us to remain with God. And it is only those who endure to the end that shall be saved. Let's now round up on this aspect before we go into the aspect of our Sunday school today. You know, we are on the fourth key today, you know. But before we go into that one, let's quickly read 1 John chapter 2. 1 John, 1st epistle of John, chapter 2 from verse 15. Let us listen. Bible began to summarize to us what pleasure of life is all about. And you will, if you can look at it from the perspective of God, you will realize that it is nothing worth going for. It is nothing worth going for. But you have everything to stay with God. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Although
your life may be so slow now, your height, you may not be getting what you thought you want, but I can tell you, you are reserving your blessing for the appointed time. If Jesus hasn't come at an appointed time, it will come to reality. That which he has made concerning you, it will speak for, and God's name will be glorified. Shout hallelujah.
So now, I read from 1st Epistle of John, chapter 2, from verse 15. Bible encouraged us here through its servant, and it says, stop loving this evil world. It need not evil world, where we see a father that gives birth to his own children, six of them, and he mastermind the killing of them as well. That is shocking. We are talking about Western world.
you know, this is shocking. And that is the world where we are today. And Bible says, stop loving this world. Come and love God. Come and love his world. Let his world dominate you. Let Christ be found in you. Then your life will reflect the goodness of God. Will reflect the totality of what is in God. Indeed, everybody that comes in contact with you will truly call you a child of God.
It is not by just mouth you call yourself a child of God, and there's nothing that is of God that can be seen in your life.
No. That is not the person that's supposed to be, that is supposed to be called child of God.
No. So the person that's supposed to be called child of God is somebody that demonstrates the life of Christ. The meaning of Christian is Christ-like. This is like Christ. That is what makes you to be a Christian. If nothing like Christ is in you, you are not a Christian. Take Christ out of Christian. It is no longer Christian.
May God help us. If your total life and your total focus is to achieve every of your dreams, which is about this world, to build the biggest house, to go to travel around your world, you know, just to enjoy yourself, then I can tell you your salvation is still questionable. And I'm not saying being a child of God, you are not trying to enjoy yourself. No,
you will still enjoy yourself, but in understanding the will of God for your life. You will not enjoy yourself at the expense of displeasing God. As a child of God, as a conscious child of God, as credible child of God, as God-fearing personality in the hand of God. You know, these are the things that we need to know.
We are coming to the end of the age, quickly.
I don't know when the end shall come, but Bible made us to know when you begin to see signs like this, that shows the end time is here. The second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ is about to take place. So we can even say it's more nearer to us than we first believe.
Where are you, my people? If Jesus decides to come this morning, will you go with him? Or will you be a castaway?
It's a personal question. You need to answer with utmost good faith within you. Am I sure if Christ comes this morning during the course of this service, am I going to go with him?
I'm going to be casted away. I'm going to be cast out from his presence. Because he said it in Matthew chapter 7.
It's not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord, that will make the kingdom of heaven. Because some have only used my name to build empires for themselves. They use my name to make miracles, to do miracles, but their hearts are not with me. God doesn't have any interest in those things. May the Lord help us.
Where are you this morning? That is what God is asking you. He has challenged me to come and tell you, to come and challenge you as well, to come and ask from you, where are you? Just like when Adam and Eve, when they defined themselves, according to that Genesis, hallelujah, chapter 2 there, hallelujah, chapter 3 there, when they defined themselves, they went to hide. And God came, as he used to come, at the cool of the hour, And he asked and he called on Adam. He said, "Where are you, Adam?" Adam said, "I'm sorry, it's because I'm naked. I'm hiding somewhere." Who tells you you are naked? It's because you have broken the hedge. A serpent will surely bite if you do that. Let's wake up from all of our moralities to the church. Let's allow Christ to come at this stage. We are closer to the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ than we first believed. Please, it is for our benefit. He told his disciples before he left in John chapter 14. Let's read from verse 1 quickly before we come back to this. 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. I'm going to read Epistle of John now chapter 14 quickly. And let's see and let's hear what Jesus told his disciples to comfort them when he was about to go. And I read from verse 1 of John chapter 14 verse 1. Don't be troubled. You trust God. Now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know where I am going and how to get there. The only way to get to where Jesus has gone to, which is the kingdom of God, have I been able to realize and to know that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And in fact, he's still praying for us. He's still pleading on our behalf. Oh my God. And the way to get there is through him and him alone. Let's see that in verse 6. Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Brethren, have you, by the grace of God, received the true Jesus into your life? Have you been able to eat the heavenly, you know, inheritance and grace that is abiding there? And now you are, because of the body affairs, you are just, you know, trying to backslide? I call on you quickly in the name of Jesus, and by the mercies of God this morning, I beseech you to reconsider your ways. Run away from those deadly things, those secret things that are hidden deep into your heart now. They will only destroy you and send you to hell at the end of the day if you don't change. Come quickly back home now, like a prodigal son who came to himself. In that gospel according to St. Luke chapter 15, and he said, "I will go back to my Father, and I will tell my Father I'm sorry." I beseech you this morning to say you are sorry concerning your waywardness so far. Say you are sorry to him. He's ready to forgive you, and he's ready to wash you with his blood again. Jesus will do that, and he will make you his in the name of Jesus. The Lord has quickened this church this morning to encourage you in this manner. Reconsider your ways with the Lord. You are not in a joking relationship. If it works, fine. If it doesn't work, you go your way. You haven't gone God any other way that is better than the way Jesus has appointed for you to follow. You miss it, you will have yourself to blame. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help me. May the Lord help us. In the name of Jesus. Let's go back to that first epistle of John, chapter 2. And as I finish reading from verse 15 unto 17. Stop loving this world. Stop loving this evil world and all that
it offers you. For when you love the world, you show that you do not have the love of the Father in you. It's very obvious. In our husband and wife love relationship, if you want to have a wonderful relationship, a loving home, a cherishable home, where your children will grow, an atmosphere of love, atmosphere of peace, you are expected to be loyal to your spouse. You're expected to be loyal to your husband, loyal to your wife. That's the way it can work. But if you begin to have extramarital affairs outside, it doesn't work. It causes a lot of mayhem. And so also God is telling us here, if you call yourself my child, you call yourself child of God, and you don't love him, rather you love this world, this evil world, you don't have this love in your heart. That's what he's telling us. Do you know the way God wants you to demonstrate his love in your heart? God's love in your heart? Quickly put your hand in this place. We come back there. So read from verse 16 in a minute. But let's go to chapter 3 of the same book. That is 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. That's what the Lord is telling us, how we are expected to demonstrate his love. God's love. For other people, for our brothers and our sisters. Let's look at it. Verse 16, I read. Such, amen, verse 16 of 1 John chapter 3 says this: we know what real love is because Christ gave his life for us. That is the love of God. That is what it is. Jesus went extra miles to give up his life. Yet last Sunday we're celebrating Easter here, the resurrection of our Lord. We didn't deserve that death. We didn't deserve that sacrificial death. He went through for us. He did that for the remission of our sins. He did that to reconcile us back to God. We were people that we don't have hope before. But through that exercise, that eternal exercise, that glorious exercise, unprecedented time exercise of our Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us, we became people of God. We were being brought home back. Hallelujah. We were redeemed. We were bought from the slavery of devil and sin into the glorious light of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That is where God brought us to. So what are we talking about this morning? This is the way Jesus wants us to experience and exercise and demonstrate his love. And I read that verse 16 again. 1 John chapter 3 verse 16. We know what real love is about. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And we also, can you see here now? And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. We need to go extra miles when we don't see our brothers, Christian brothers and sisters in the church. How we are, they are sick. How we are, maybe it is the one thing or the other is happening to them. Perhaps they want to overtake them. We should use love to restore them back into the fold of grace. That is what God encourages us to do. The way God gives us himself, with his mind, to give his life for us. We didn't deserve to be sinners. We deserve to be punished by God. But he came in. And he took all those blames, all those punishments upon himself. And he said the sins of our lives upon him. They were laid. And he carried them to Calvary. And he paid the full price for them.
and we are redeemed by the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the sort of love, that is the sort of way he wants us to demonstrate his love that is in our heart, that we have received through Jesus,
towards one another, towards our Christian brothers and our sisters.
I pray that all of us can hold it together in faith and in Christ and get to that heaven and see the way heaven is like. Heaven, there's no bankruptcy in heaven. There's no, you have more than me. No. A place of peace. A place of total tranquility. A place of joy. May God help us not to miss it in life. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, I sure have quickened me this day to bring your encouraging word to your church. That let them check themselves. Let them examine themselves. Let them come out of whatever they are doing that is not of you, that is of this world. Father, help them, O God, to make up their minds today and to choose to be for you and to remain with you for eternity time. In the name of Jesus. I finish the reading in 1 John chapter 2 from 16 now unto 17. Bible is telling us we should stop loving this evil world and all the things this evil world offers. Because whoever that loves this world, the love of Christ, which I've just told you now, the way the love of Christ is, the love of Christ is what made him to die for us. And so he wants us to show that sort of level of love towards our Christian brothers and sisters. So if this world, the love of this world is in our heart, we can't do that love at all. And that's why we are, instead of us showing the Christ love that Christ is expecting for us, from us, towards our Christian brothers and sisters, we rather backbite them. Because the Christ love is not in us, it's the worldly world love that is in us. And what is the worldly world or love? And that is what we are going to read now. Verse 16 of 1 John chapter 2 says, for the world offer only the lust for physical pleasure. And that's why you still see it in the church of our Lord Jesus Christ today. Married men still sleeping with young ladies in the church. Some people still, you know, defying other men's wives, you know, some women still permit themselves to go out with some men in the church, you know, young ladies, young men, they are committing fornication all over the place, stealing going on, backbiting going on, you know. People are just doing whatever they like. The loss of physical hearts. Some churches of our Lord Jesus Christ these days is what you wear the seat. Who dress best? If I in the church when message is going on, they are passing shoe. That's the latest. That's your own. We pay next week. That's what we are saying. Gossip on the Lord. Oh, see your sister today, see your brother. You know? That is to say there's no love for Christ. The love that will compel me to go extra miles for my brothers and sisters in helping them out of their troubles. It's not there. And what is here is the love of this world, which drives us to have lots of physical things that we see. Now our music today, instead of for it to be a music that glorifies God and bring the Spirit of God down, is a music that makes us to feel big. When we dance like this, we show. It's our bottom we are showing to men. It's our this we are, you know, we have to dance. Those are things going on in the church. It's like a social gathering. A center we go to feel good with ourselves. Rather than a place that we reflect and show to us our qualities. That will make us to come out of secret things that doesn't glorify God in our lives. And be totally washed by the blood of Jesus. May the Lord deliver us. May the Lord deliver us. The laws for everything we see. and pride in our possessions. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. Do you still partake in this which God is telling us here today? Please, brother, run to the true God for the salvation of your soul. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God. Before we know it, the hand can catch up with us. Any one of us can be called home anytime before even Jesus comes to take the whole hand, to take his own sight away. So, and it has been appointed for a man to die once after that is judgment. Once your body is being carried and laid into the ground, you can't repent again. It's on the basis of what you have done till the time of your final breath that God will use to judge you. I said to look at your life today. Why God has not taken your life away is because He is still giving you opportunity to change, to repent, to review your relationship with Him in the way it's supposed to be. That's why you didn't go with that last year, 2012. You are now in 2013. You remember by January we were here, many people were making, a lot of resolution. Lord, this year, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. We are already in April now. Today is the 7th of April, 2013. Have you been able to fulfill anything in what you said earlier at the beginning of this year? Devil is beckoning to you, beckoning to you. Come and do this, come and do that. Enjoy yourself, enjoy yourself. Look, this body that devil is using to rid our soul and our spirit will go back to dust. It has no glory in itself. The body doesn't have glory in itself. Know that today. It's only a container. And we've launched that in our series of lessons under the title of The Mystery of Human Life. The body is just a container. And I've made that expression here over and over several times. It's just like when you buy milk. And once you finish using the milk inside, fresh milk or powder milk, what do you do with the container? You throw the container in the garbage. Because no more use. We finish what is important in it. That body, which we pound out the time with perfume. Some people say, I can't use that sort of perfume. I can't use that sort of power. I can't wear that sort of shoe. I can't wear that sort of eyes. They're lifting my standard. I use quality. I use 17 carats. I use 18 carats. I use that. I use, the perfume I use is this. Oh, Gucci. This body is going to go down to ground. 6 feet below. And I am not saying now you should not look after it. No. But you should balance it. You shouldn't allow your attention for the body to supersede your attention to feed your spirit and your soul with the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us that are seated here this morning, we cannot do without eating Monday. We miss it like this, we'll be shaking, vibrating, as if that something the head is about to open and swallow us. But many of us can live without reading the Bible for a week, for a month, even for years. That's not right. We could call ourselves children of God. Let's live according to the mandate of God. It is for our betterment. Nourish your soul with the word of God. Nourish your spirit with relationship with God. When you engage in prayer, when you strengthen your spirit by doing that, because God is, we are talking to God. And when you study His word, God is talking back to you. In the Lord above us. It is time for us to know who we are in Christ if we want to get to anywhere in life. We are more close to the second advent of our Lord Jesus Christ than when we first believed. Amen. Bible says in finality now, in analyzing this aspect of the word of God that is coming to us to encourage us on taking our stand for Him and not looking back. These are not from the Father. They are from this evil world. Verse 17 of 1 John chapter 2. And this world is fading away.
along with everything it creates. But if you do the will of God, you will live forever.
How many of you want to live forever? I see some people, they don't even care.
They love us.
You live forever, not physically,
spiritually.
Yeah.
But it's with God in his eternity, for eternal time. That is what Jesus Christ has come to offer us. And that's why 1 Corinthians chapter 15 made us to know. He said, if our hope in Christ only because of what we can get in him while we are on this earth, he said, we are people to be pitied.
Chapter 15.
Let's go there quickly. I love that chapter.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19.
And if we have hope in Christ only for this life, we are the most miserable people in the world.
It's not because I want to get new car, I want to get new job, I want to get good wife, I want to get this, things of the world, things of that, that I've come to become a Christian.
That's not the primary reason of me coming to become a Christian.
The primary reason for me to become part of the heavenly family that will reign with God at the end of the day.
So what is part of this?
Oh, that's secondary.
Because he said,
Lord, I find a good thing.
Praise
the Lord. That is, praise the Lord. I love that. Yeah. But we must know what is first and what is second. Hallelujah. You can't give back to other.
Good thing from the Lord.
Amen. Glory to God. For that, it's part of yours. I'm not saying it's not part of you, but that's not the primary reason.
Okay, for coming to Christ.
Yes. That's what we're talking about here now. Are you getting me now? Mm-hmm. Let's get it right. We shouldn't misplace our priorities. Because you're giving back to a child you are expecting for many years. A boy, so to say, or a girl, so to say. And the day the boy was giving back, so you started giving the baby solid food. And you will cause trouble. The baby can't feed on that. You have to hold on. Say, because this is my best food. Let me give it to my baby from the first day. You will cause trouble. So also, when you come to the Lord, the primary reason why you have come to the Lord is to have fellowship with him. Hallelujah. He has given you opportunity to know him for intimacy. And you must build up that relationship. Before you begin to desire for all this and that, before you desire for other things first, those things will destroy you. They will not allow you to know him intimately. And that one, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, tells us something powerful. He says, take the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. All other things shall be added unto you. So the word we are talking about is part of all other things.
Yes.
Hallelujah! So may the Lord help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
So as we are rounding on this note of God encouraging us as a church, here at Glory Field Assembly, the church arm of Way of Glory Missions in London, United Kingdom. We are encouraging you, our people, to seek the kingdom of God first. And having got that kingdom of God by his grace, which was made available to us through Jesus Christ, then begin to walk in the light of his will. Begin to seek for his righteousness. Begin to desire to live to please him on daily basis. And you begin to see that what is not there, that you are in need of, in terms of material things to keep you going in life, God will begin to open doors for you to get them. Effortlessly.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
I pray God will help us to know him and to surrender all unto him. We've been on this series of Sunday school talking about the mystery of human life for some Sundays now.
And we are going to briefly touch on the key number 4, which is today's focus on Sunday school. But to recap on what we've learned before, we said there are 6 keys to unfolding this mystery about human life. The first key, as we were taught here, was what? God's plan. The number 2 key, man. The number 3 key, man's fall. And the number 4 key, Christ's redemption for God's dispensing. God dispensing grace through His Son to salvage us from our fallen position. Hallelujah. And that is what we are talking about today. I want you to listen very well. I told you I'm going to bring some diagram to church. You know? And if you can look at it, the original plan of God is on this paper. The way God wants this earth to be. The way God wants, you know, the relationship between Him and you and me and us human beings to be is here. We are to live a sinless life by God's original agenda. Okay? God created us. He created spirit in us. He created soul in us. And He covered everything with body. And now I was telling you that the body is the container. Hallelujah. With housing the most important 2 elements that form our life. Our lives. Amen? So here we can see everything was glorious. The original plan of God, if you go into that God's plan again, was God made man. It is of God's desire to express Himself through man. God wants to let the world know who He is through us. That was the original plan of God. And no wonder He told His faculty in heaven. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, He said, "Come, heaven, let's make man in our image, so that we may reflect our glory through man, here on earth, below the heaven." And that was the original plan. Just like when God has blessed you, and you want to design your house, where you want to live with your family. Perhaps you are an architect. So you want to show the world that God has blessed you with wisdom of drawing and designing houses. You built houses for famous people on the earth. So now you've got enough money. So now you want to show your world what you can do. And that is, God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God is all-sovereign. He is mighty. Now He wants to show who He is on this path of life through man. And we can read on. In view of this, He created man in His image in order for man to contain God. God is expected to live in us, and that is why He made us in 3 parts. He made us of spirit, because God is spirit. His original agenda is to live in man as a spirit. And He made man in 3 parts. A spirit, which is to relate with God. The soul of the body. Hallelujah. Man now receiving God as His content. Now, like when I was using a bottle of milk, bottle of fresh milk, as an example, the container they've used to store that fresh milk is the
is like our body,
which God has used to hold the spirit and the soul inside it.
When you finish drinking your fresh milk,
what do you do with the container? You throw it into the trash, into the garbage. And they come during the week, they come and pack the trash away. You don't have anything to do with it. And that is why when anybody dies, doesn't matter how rich they are, they carry them to the cemetery. Because they finish the assignment. The body is no longer needed. God forbid, I think that they are able to wrap up the body quickly and take it to where it belongs. People will be passing abuse, covering their noses. And these are the same people before, they used to think that worth thousands of pounds. Can you see how this world is today? It is until when you allow Christ to dominate you that you have understanding of what your life is all about. But if you don't allow Christ to dominate you, you will still be living in shadow of not knowing the true meaning of life. May God dominate you today. As Apostle Paul prayed for the Galatian church, and the Galatian church rather, in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Let's go there. I also read that as 12 verse in this church. Let's go there. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. I see what Apostle Paul began to say here. And I read, listen, church. He said, but oh, my dear children, I feel as if I am going through labor pains for you again. And they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. These are my prayers for you. On constant basis, that Christ will be formed in all of you. In this church, glory to the Son, in the church house of your glory missions. That you will come to know Christ, and you will come to know why He has died for you, and you will come to know the reason why God has created you, so you will not live a wasted life. In the name of Jesus. If see people that have money, they die, they bury them. Equally, people that die that don't have money, they bury them in the same way. Let's be the Lord. Come. For there is meaning, there is more to life than just running after, you know, the material things of life. It's only when you allow Christ to have place in you. As it does mention, I stand by the door of your heart knocking. In that Revelation chapter 3. And if you open, I will come in and have fellowship with you. It's only when we allow Him to have fellowship with us. Just like the lesson we are going to read, the second lesson we are going to read for the communion today. In that gospel according to St. Luke chapter 24 from verse 30 to 35. When Jesus has been, you know, arrested and crucified, you know, his disciples, they were displaced. So, and two among the followers of Jesus Christ, they were going on the way to Emmaus, his city, you know, called Emmaus. And they were going, they were just talking, said, and all of a sudden they saw a man was walking along with them, and they started talking. And they said, didn't you see what is happening around us? And the man was asking, what's happening there? Are you a stranger in this city? You don't know what has happened? The man called Jesus, mighty, respected, does a lot of miracles. He's been killed by people, you know? And they never knew that it was Jesus that was walking with them. And that is the way some people live this life. They never have understanding about their life. From day one they were born to the day they died. And that's a wasted soul. Our life will not be like that in Jesus' name. And that's why you need to. It was on the way these people, they offered Jesus to come into their house, say, just stay with us, have something to eat. And when they were eating, Jesus broke the bread. And that defined their eyes.
to know that this Jesus. So when you allow him to come inside the door of your heart, knocking. When you allow him to come in, he will have fellowship, he will reveal who you are to you. And what you are meant to know now, why you are here. In this short time of life. It doesn't matter, maybe you are going to stay here for over 120 years. It's this short in the eyes of God, because the Bible made us say that 1,000 years is like a day in the eyes of God. May God help us to understand it. So what are we talking about here today? My desire as a pastor, as a shepherd that God has placed over the sheep in this assembly, is for Christ to be fully formed in all of you. That will be the time that to direct you, to shepherd you will not be difficult for me. Because you will understand what God is saying. And you will move in the direction that God is leading you through me. In the name of Jesus. So God, in his original plan, he wants to contain us. But do you know what happened? Man disobeyed what God told man not to do. Can you see how clean man was here in the first symbol up here? Everything was clean. God could come. And that was that. If you go and read Genesis, hallelujah, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, before the problem began to happen, God will come at the cool of the hour and have time with Adam. He was communicating on the stone. Hallelujah, because God is still. Hallelujah. Everything, there was no blockage there. So when you begin to secretly sin, you are creating blockage between you and God. that is what often happens. You see? So man was clean at this point. God's plan to man, everything was clean. But until the devil comes, can you see what was clean now? Sin stained everything. And when sin comes into the picture, God can't stay there. Because God has sin cannot stay in the same place. God cannot behold sin. He cannot behold iniquity. That's why he has to send second Adam, who is Christ Jesus, come and use his blood to wipe sin. And that is where we are today. God's in Christ's redemption. Of God dispensing the grace through his son. You can see God here, and he realized that his original plan has been distorted by the devil. Then he incarnated himself in human flesh. Hallelujah. So he has to go to cross, the crucifixion, in order to serve as a sacrifice. Worthy enough to bear all the consequences of our sins. The prices we need to pay for all our sins. And he died and he was buried. And he resurrected. Hallelujah. And that completed the work and brought us back to the way it was before. Hallelujah. Amen. So through Christ there's hope for you. There's hope for me. Turn your Bible to Romans chapter 4. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's an amazing God. And I don't know why somebody on this earth will say there's no God. Can you see how devil can blindfold people? From knowing the true purpose of God for their lives. And let's read, amen, from verse 6, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. And that is what happened here. And through that, he redeemed us back to the old Lord. So there's opportunity for you now to relate with God. For God to relate with your spirit. Provided you don't allow sin to come and block it again. And if you have allowed sin to come to have been there to block your relationship with God, You have the grace to say, Christ, I'm sorry.
Not for you to take it for granted and just sin today and tomorrow, I'm sorry. Sin today, tomorrow, I'm sorry. Sin today, today, I'm sorry. No, you have to be serious about it. Because the devil can set you up.
May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. So on this note, we come to the conclusion of this Sunday school. And we pray that the mighty God will give us understanding about His word to our hearts, to our soul, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord.